the blessed month of Ramadan. We were speaking about Ramadan on Thursday night, a few days ago. And in that mold, I will present some more words, inshallah. Ramadan Mubarak, the blessed month of Ramadan, is a very valuable and precious month for us. For example, one moment, one second of Ramadan, if we waste it, it is such a loss that insan, the human being, will not get any recompense for that, nor can he make up for that. He cannot make up for it. There's no deed that can make up for that loss, those seconds wasted or lost in Ramadan. There's no qada. There's no delay factor in terms of that you can make up for it. So we should try our utmost that we should not make any mistakes, or we shouldn't be negligent or lazy or careless. Some days before, our mentally or physically, we should prepare ourselves for this great month. And these few words that I'm presenting in your service, we are just reminding each other. You know all of these things that I'm going to say. I'm just reminding that may there not come a time, a second, a moment, some seconds or moments or minutes that we waste in Ramadan. At every moment in Ramadan, I should keep myself busy in ibadah, in worship. Even if I'm sleeping in Ramadan, that sleeping should give me thawab, reward. So these are azim, great moments, great times, great seconds in the life of a person. And never should we contemplate for a moment that we're going to waste the time in Ramadan. Those people who are weak, who cannot keep the fast due to some sharia excuse or reason, they can't fast. That this does not mean that they should waste the rest of Ramadan. That just is an excuse, okay, that they don't physically fast. But the rest of the ibadah they can fulfill in Ramadan. Yes, the worship, the deeds, the good actions. And at every moment, that person, even if he's not fasting due to weakness or an excuse or illness, should keep himself or herself busy in good deeds. So if you're not fasting physically, then at least do the ibadah, at least worship, at least remember Allah. And especially remember one thing, we need to be cautious and careful about certain point, which is that we are dependent as insan, we are faqir, we have lack of understanding, lack of ability, and we are immersed in the needs and the requirements of the world. There's not one breath of our life in any moment that we are not dependent. We are always dependent on assistance while we are living our lives. And Allah is the Khaliq, He is the Malik, He is the one who gives, and He gives endlessly. He can give whatever He wants, whenever He wants, without any limitations, without any restrictions. So one side is the person who asks, which is us, and on the other is Allah Ta'ala, who is the one who gives. And Allah Ta'ala says that due to a certain ibadah, you can ask from your Rabb Allah whatever you want and attain it. And ibadah, worship is dua. Ibadah is dua. And there's such a, you can say, link between the one who asks and the one who gives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has given us such a big ibadah of dua, worship of dua. That doesn't matter how much I'm in need, I require something, from the smallest thing to the biggest thing. And Allah ta'ala is the one who gives. He is the Khaliq, the creator. He says, I can give whatever you ask for. And Allah says, and there's you who is the one who is in need. In between me or us, who I need, and Allah the one who gives, the master, the creator, Allah says between that is your asking, your dua. That's it. So there's us who are in need, and there's Allah who gives endlessly. Allah says there's no moment in Ramadan that is not accepted. Alhamdulillah, the rest of the months they are also accepted, and Allah Ta'ala gives. But Ramadan is a special moment, special month, Allah Ta'ala's gift to us. We are in need. We are desperately in need. What is there that we don't need? Every moment, every second we're in need. Ask, should I be ashamed? Allah, this is a small thing. Should I ask Allah? We need, and Allah is the one who gives. Allah Ta'ala hasn't distinguished between whatever we need in this world, for this life, for the hereafter, or go and write a letter, or go to this department, you'll get from this place. Allah Ta'ala is one. Allah says, you ask me for the needle, I'll give the needle. You ask me for the mountain, I'll give you the mountain. Allah is the one who's going to give. From the needle in the haystack to the mountain upon the molds, Allah Ta'ala is wahdahu la sharik. And we are those who are desperately in need. And when we need, who do we go to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remember one thing, be careful. While we are asking from Allah, so what is the mistake that we commit? Is that we ask, we delay in asking. Don't take what I'm saying badly, but we take too long in asking. first, we start thinking with our aql, with our intellect. For example, I'm ill, there's a headache, I've got a headache, a migraine. Then I'll run to the medicine cupboard, Panadol, paracetamol, aspirin. Oh, I've got a migraine or a headache, I need to get the medicine. Or if I have another need, what's the first thing that I'll do? I'll run towards a physical solution that I think will control this in the world, to try to control that need or to obtain that need. And when I get tired of utilizing the resources of the world and I don't attain what I want, they say, oh, let's do dua to Allah. Oh, let's pray to Allah. Oh, let's go to Wali Wallah. Allah Ta'ala says, you've wasted so much time. First dua, then go to the means in the world. But we seek the means. When they don't work, then we go to Allah. So first we have the headache, we go to the medicine. No, say, Allah, I've got a headache. Allah, give me your mercy so this pain can go far away. So we don't have the requirement through the means of the tablet or the medicine. Allah says, first ask me, then I will explain you or advise you that there's a means between that and the solution. Allah says, sometimes that I give you the acceptance of the dua without the means, the medicine. So what's the difference here? There's a little point here, pay attention. This is yaqeen in Allah, certainty in Allah. And yaqeen, if I have certainty upon the medicines or upon the boss who gives me the job, I have yaqeen on a human being or on other things. But if I develop yaqeen and certainty in Allah, then I know that money, yes, my father is going to give me pocket money and I have to ask father and then he's going to take out of his pocket and give to me. But when you need the money, will you go to the person who, for example, is not linked to my father, or will I go straight to my father and ask? I'll go direct to my father. So Allah Ta'ala says, come straight to the source. Wastajib lakum. Yes, when you have a need, and this is something that we have to think about, whenever the need arises, whenever the time comes, first and foremost do dua, then go to the means, the physical means to ask for and to obtain. Whatever's happening, there's distress, there's worry, there's distress, there's depression, there are problems and issues and difficulties, the first thing we do is turn to Allah. Ya Mawla, Ya Rabb, please correct this situation of mine. Ya Allah, give me ease. And see how Allah Ta'ala will give. Hazrat Hammad rahmatullahi alayh, it was his generation, and he was a great wali of Allah, a pious predecessor. And in his time, there was a rich man who lived at the same time as him. He was rich, wealthy, he was a tajir, he had business. And you know the style of businessmen of rich people, generally speaking. For example, people who waste the time, when evening would come, he would have a gathering and a feast and celebrations, and businessmen, people of money and wealth and pomp and glory, grandeur, food and drink, all through the night till the morning, they'd eat and drink, and all of the feast and whatever you fitness you can assign to that. Then they'd lie down in the lateness of the night, and then in the morning get up and go to work. So this was the age, the generation where people had slaves and workers, and he had a worker, a slave. And by chance, what happened one day was that it was a bit late for the food, in preparation of the food. The food was made a bit later than usual. And the Malik, he was a bit shook. He said, look, my guests have come and I am wealthy and high status. So let's keep them busy in some other pastime. So I need to keep them busy in something because the food's not prepared yet and they're waiting. So he called his servant. He said, that, listen, quickly, quickly, quickly go and take this 4 riyal. And go to the market and buy some almonds and pistachio nuts so that before food I can give them these nuts and savory so they can eat and they'll be diverted their attention from the food. And then while they're eating, the food will be prepared and we can go to dinner. So he took the 4 dirhams, you know, the silver, and he gave him that money to go to the marketplace. And the servant went, the ghulam, he went towards the bazaar, he ran with the order of the master. And Hazrat Hamar rahmatullahi alayh, he was the wali of Allah at that time. And his gathering was also at that time. And between the house of that rich man and the market was the khanqah of Hazrat Hamar rahmatullahi alayh. In the evening, his gathering, his mehfil would be set. So there was the gathering of the businessman, of the rich man, the dunya gathering, the worldly gathering, and Hazrat Hamar rahmatullahi alayh, his gathering, the gathering of the pious, the wali of Allah. So the servant, he said, oh, I might delay in listening to my master, but let me listen to Hazrat and listen to his pious words and good words, and I can benefit and maybe my akhirah will be made. So he stopped. He delayed in going to the market, and he stood there. There was silence. Nothing was happening. And he was sitting there, and the ghulam, the servant, he was there. And he said, no, no one's doing anything. And one man was saying something, a few words. He went forward to her. And that person said, I am a fakir. And for the sake of Allah, Hazrat, be merciful to me. I am in difficulty. I am in need. I need 4 dirham. please give me 4 dirhams, somebody, so I can fulfill my needs. I have such a desperate need. He was in need at that time. And the ghulam, the servant, he was listening. He saw the gathering. Hazrat, the sheikh, is sitting. And Hazrat looked towards that man. And that man who was in need had come to the sheikh's gathering. And how can that man who's come with a need and asked, he cannot go empty-handed. He's got to have something. He's got to eat something. He said, okay. Fair enough. Hazrat looked around and he saw the fakir and he was asking for 4 dirham. He said, look, the situation is such. He said to his murids, to his students, is there anyone here who can give him 4 dirhams? Whoever gives him 4 dirham, I will give him 4 du'as, 4 prayers. This is the transaction, the bargain. Only the people of intellect can understand this. When the sheikh said this, all the people were sitting. The ghulam jumped up. The ghulam was sent by his master to the market. He said, Hazrat, here, 4 dirham. I've got 4 dirham. On my behalf, please accept and give to this person. Hazrat said, so he said, but you promised that you will do 4 du'as for me. He said, fine, ask and ask for the du'a. Whatever you need. Subhanallah. So he is in front of the wali of Allah. The moment of acceptance of du'a. There's a point I want to explain to you at the time. That ask for du'a yourself and also ask a wali of Allah, a pious person, to do du'a for you. Because my friends, the du'as of the walis of Allah, their style of their du'a is great. Their mannerism is unique. And the du'a of the wali of Allah, the pious person, Allah Ta'ala accepts it most readily, quickly. So whenever you get a chance, ask du'a from the wali of Allah. Remember this. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, their du'as are such that without any restriction, Allah Ta'ala gives. I remember a event of my Hazrat, my Shaykh. Time is short. We were once sitting in my Shaykh's gathering in his mefil. And I'll put this story to the side and I'll go forward. Because we're talking about du'as. See how you get the du'as of the wali of Allah. So the walis of Allah don't like that you go and present a story to them. You're wali of Allah. Only you can listen to my need. You are close to Allah. Do du'a for me. They don't like this. Because this is a shame. They feel ashamed for this. And we don't understand this. If you want a du'a, go straight and say, Hazrat, look, this is my issue. Please do du'a for me. I'm in need. I'm in difficulty. But if you say, oh, you're a sheikh, your du'a is accepted. I came for this reason, so you can do du'a for me. This is not the reality. This is not the right way. This is not the methodology. And in this line of tasawwuf, adab is a very important thing. Very great point. One word, it is hinging on adab, on manners and bad manners. Hazrat Mulana Ashraf Ali Thani, alhamdulillah, said that the path of tasawwuf, the subject of tasawwuf, is full of adab and manners, and success and unsuccessful, being successful and unsuccessful is hinged on adab, on manners. A person who doesn't know how to meet his sheikh, to speak to his sheikh, how to discuss with the sheikh, to understand his condition and temperament, how to sit in his gathering, to serve him. A person who understands all of these points, he will be successful upon successful, because I am explaining to you these points, because this is a gathering of tasawwuf. The salik, the traveler to the path of the pleasure of Allah, who is the student of the sheikh, should learn the adab, the manners of the sheikh. And all of your life of struggling and striving, in 1 second you can waste these things if you do bi'adabi and have bad manners. You have to be that careful, that cautious, but we don't understand this point. And remember, Shaykh, he is not in need of the service and the khidmat. No, the Shaykh just wants to meet the people who are around him in the gathering. We go and try to pressurize the Shaykh. The Shaykh doesn't consider he is anything. He doesn't consider he's a status. But we try to remind him or tell him that he has a status. Understand the Shaykh, the teacher. Our situation is different. Yes, we understand him as a wali Allah. He is a Shaykh. He is a teacher. But we must treat him with manners, without pride, without showing, without riya. How the Quran and the Hadith, how they teach us how to present ourselves and have manners and act in the gathering, in the mefil, how we should sit, how we should look at the Shaykh, how we should bow our heads, how we should have manners, how we should present our requests and our need to the Shaykh. Every single point has been taught via Islam, and it is full based on adab. And a person who learns adab, he reaches to the qurb of Allah, the nearness of Allah. Anyway, so there was a gathering of my Shaykh, my teacher, Hazrat Sahib, and a person came from the village area. You know, in Balochistan, our area is close to that. You can say Buddu type people, the people like nomadic type people who live in the desert area, the village type area, the rural type area, simple people, rural type people. So the people used to come from the village areas, from the rural areas, and Hazrat was sitting and the gathering was in motion, and Hazrat was sitting and people, and he came, the person, Assalamu alaikum, they don't have no protocol. And the person who is simple from the village type environment, the more simple he is, the more successful he is. The Sahaba Ikram said that whenever we could not dare to ask something to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we want to ask a question or a masala or put forward a query. We used to do dua, Allah, please send somebody who is nomadic from the desert type area, the tribesman, who is simple, who has no protocol or formalities, who is so simple, and he will speak openly, Ya Rasulullah Sallam, this and this and that. So we have to have adab and manners with the Shaykh. We don't want to be people without manners and be adab and don't have the adab and the manners of how to sit. So Hazrat, when he was sitting in the gathering, my Shaykh, so the Sahaba, let's go back to the Sahaba, they said that we stood the dua that may the villager come, the tribesman come and ask a question openly without restriction, and we will be successful in hearing the answer from the Holy Prophet. So we were sitting there in Maraqba, and the villager, he came, he said, Hazrat Sahaba, assalamu alaikum, I'm going to just explain to you the summary of what was happening, otherwise we won't enjoy. So our Saraiki, our dialect, it meets with Gujarati. He said, Assalamu alaikum, Hazrat Salam. Hazrat looked up and said, Wa alaikum assalam. How are you saying? He said, How are you saying? So, as I said, there's no formality. He said, How are you saying? And Hazrat said, I am fine. And how are you? And he said, Dua da gar deo. That do some dua for me. Nicely, openly. And Hazrat said, What dua shall I do for you? What dua can I do for you? He said, That do dua for Hajj. I haven't done no Hajj. Hazrat is looking. He said, I want to do Hajj. Do dua for me that I can go on Hajj. Now listen to this. I'm telling you with yaqeen, certainty. So Hazrat Sahab said, Ah, have you got money? Have you got the funds? And then listen to the answer. He said, Sai, if I've got money, then would I come to you to ask? And when he said this, then everyone started smiling. Hazrat started smiling. He said, If I had money, would I come to you? Why have I come to you? Do dua that the door's open for me. Hazrat Sahab started laughing, smiling, and raised their hands to do dua for him. Alhamdulillah. And we were there, we were fortunate. We used to go Hajj regularly on every year. And that person was there with us at that time, a Hajj time. So he had so much yaqeen. Allahu Akbar. So Hazrat, so going back to that event now, where that person, he came to Hazrat Hammar rahmatullah. He said, Hazrat, you promised if I give the 4 dirham, you'll do 4 du'as to me. He said, okay, what's the first du'a? He said, first du'a that I've spent this 4 dirham, do du'a that I get double back in return. 8 dirham. And the second du'a, Hazrat, the Shaykh asked, remember there's no hesitation in asking from Allah. He said, Hazrat, I gave this sadaqah and I kept the £5 for the jalebis and I felt for this person, he asked for the £5. So Allah gave you £5, but I want £10 in return. Inshallah, Allah will give you £10 in return. Don't be afraid. I gave £5. I gave sadaqah. Allah says, no. That Allah gave 5 in your name and I wanted to buy jalebi. Please give me 10 back. Then inshallah 10 will come back to you. There's no restriction in Allah Ta'ala giving. Ask like this from Allah. So what does the Quran say? So what did he say? Sorry, the ghulam, the servant. He said, Hazrat, that I gave that money for dirham. I need 8 in back in return. And Hazrat said, what's the second dua you want? What's the second request you're making? The servant said straight that I am a servant. I've lived the life of servanthood. So I want freedom. Please do dua that I am set free. The third dua, Hazrat asked him. He said, my master. The third dua is that my master. And he gave me the job to come to the bazaar. Do dua for him that he is a sinner. As soon as it's evening, he goes into bad actions. The gathering is set. And he does many sins. Do dua for him that Allah forgives him and his colleagues. And Hazrat raised his hand and did the dua. And he said, fourth dua. He said, you said you'll be 4 dua. So what's the fourth? He said, okay, ask me, what's your fourth request? He said, the fourth dua is that Allah Ta'ala also forgive you. And forgive me also. And all of your colleagues, Allah Ta'ala forgive them as well. And my master, Allah Ta'ala forgives him as well. And all his colleagues and friends, Allah forgives them as well. Aha. And Hazrat said, forgiveness is to Allah. I cannot say this. This is Allah Ta'ala's job. But if you're asking me, then I'll do this dua for you. I'll do this dua for you. And did dua and said Ameen. And then he left that gathering. Then he came into consciousness. The 4 dirhams gone and I'm the servant. He said, oh no, I'm finished now. Then he realized because he was in the gathering of the Wali of Allah. He had forgotten everything. The task he'd been set. He had to go to the market to get the pistachios and the almonds. Then he woke. His consciousness came back to him. He said, oh my gosh, I'm going to be in trouble. I've delayed, the money's gone, and Malik's going to be angry. My friends, this was the generation of the master and the servant. Nowadays, the servant, even he's haughty, and You can say a bit blatant with the master. But when he got near to the house, he shouted out, "Master, master, listen to me one thing. Please listen to me first, then hit me, then be displeased with me." And the master, his life had changed. And now what was he going to say? Because the du'as had been accepted. The du'as had already been accepted and the servant didn't even know himself. This is something you have to understand, my friends. With this yaqeen, Ramadan is coming, do du'as like this. There's nothing. There should be no need of ours, no illness of ours, no distress of ours. If you want the ala, high grade status, Rasulullah said, ask for qurb, ask for Allah's pleasure, ask for Allah Ta'ala's nearness, ask for forgiveness. And the thing that we should ask for, we should ask not what's in our control, ask for what's not in your control. Ask for not for those things that you haven't got the means to attain at this moment in time. So the ghulam, the servant thought, "Oh no, I'm finished today. Oh, master, please don't hit me, don't beat me." And the master said, come forward, what's the problem? He said, "Look, my master," and he saw the whole chain, what's in front of him, Allahu Akbar, and that gathering, the fitna was finished, and there was noor on the face of his master. He said, "Master, I went, and on the way there was a hazrat, there was a gathering." He said, then I gave the 4 dirhams. He said, "Then," and what did he give to you? He said, "He gave me 4 du'as. What was your first du'a?" The master asked to his servant. He said, "The first du'a I said was the 4 dirham I've given. I need double in return." He said, "Go and take out 4,000 dirhams out of the treasure chest." He said, "This much? Remember, my friends, it doesn't take time for the acceptance of du'a." Second du'a, he said, "What's the second du'a you asked the sheikh to ask for Allah?" He said, "The second request was that I want to be free." He said, "I make Allah my witness, I free you today. I free you today." Huh? He said, "What's happened to my master?" He said, "What was your third du'a that you asked the sheikh?" He said, "I am afraid, Hazrat, my sheikh, my master, that Allah Ta'ala forgives me and you and your friends." He said, "Bear witness that I do tawbah today, that after today I will not do the bad actions." And he said, went to his friends and said, "My friends, I have done tawbah, I have repented, and you, my friends, from long time, if you want to continue to be my friends, you do tawbah as well. And we can stay as friends, otherwise our friendship will be cut. They said, "How can it be we'll leave you? In the bad times we were your friends, and in the good times we'll be your friends, and we do tawbah with you as well." Aha. And the fourth dua, what was that? The dua for forgiveness, that Allah Ta'ala forgives. That was the servant who asked that he gets forgiven, and his master gets forgiven, his friends get forgiven, and the sheikh who did the dua gets forgiven with his colleagues. Allah Ta'ala knows how far that dua has gone. And the ghulam, he was quiet, and the master said, "Obviously we cannot do anything." But he said, "This is not my job. The 3 du'as I have given to you, the repayment and the reply here. But this fourth one, leave this to Allah. Let's leave this to Allah." Then when he slept in the night, the slave who had now been freed, subhanAllah, where was he? Where was his dreams? He did the ziyarah of Allah. Allah Ta'ala said to him directly, "Oh man, my servant, that what was in your control and you could have fulfilled, you did. So what is in my control? Will I not fulfill that? Go, I've forgiven all of you." Allahu Akbar. So this is the yaqeen, the certainty, my brothers. Ramadan Mubarak is coming. Allah Ta'ala has given us an azeem ibadah, worship. And what is that worship? Asking from Allah. We have to ask from Allah. All our life we run around difficulties, problems and worries. Allah Ta'ala has given us such a month. Every second, whether we got wudu or not, standing, sitting, sleeping, lying down, this is the month of asking. All of the ibadah will do. Quran, tilawat, dhikr, fikr, remembrance of Allah. Whatever we will do, alhamdulillah, this is the root, the pivot, the fulcrum. This is the root, you can say the center point of all of our deed. So for example, you take the fruit, you have the seed within, like apricot or whatever, the mango, you have the seed, the stone within. From the mango, you have the stone of the mango. From every fruit, you have the seeds. So if you take the seed, the essence out of the ibadah and throw it away, then there'll be no ibadah left, will there? So keep the seeds, the roots of everything. Whenever you get shook in life, or even if you don't get shook, make one habit, you will keep asking Allah. And you will ask for one thing. What do we ask? We do 40 du'as. We got the kitab, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. We keep on asking Allah. What is this? This is called reading. This is not du'as. We are reading du'as. And one is asking for du'a. One is reading du'as, and one is asking for the du'as. Okay? So we should have these du'as, no doubt. But when you're reading, that's different. But when you're asking, when you're praying, when you're requesting, your mind and your ruh and your heart should be totally content. And you know that when you go to someone to ask for something, and you go to ask him, and you have no hope that he will give, and you are desperate that he's going to give something to you, and then you get that thing, and you know you'll be successful if he gives you. For example, you need a ticket the flight for Hajj, and it's hard for you to get a flight. You think, okay, let's go to someone. He will give me influence, a reference. He can give a ticket. He can give a passport. Maybe he will assist us and help us. He's an agent or an intermediary. Okay. When you go there, he says, don't worry, I'm going to London, inshallah, I'll take your passport with me, and I'll give you this visa stamp and the ticket. And you're so happy that you're successful. So, we should have so much hope in Allah, so much yaqeen, that when we go and ask Allah and raise our hands, we should have total hope that Allah will give to us, and we should never feel the feel, have the emotion that Allah will not give to us. So that nomad, the villager, he said, Hazrat, do dua for me. Hazrat said, that how much money have you got? He said, if I had money, why would I come here? I have yaqeen that your dua will be accepted. So inshallah, our Ramadan is coming. The blessed month is coming. Have special caution for this. Look, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, mashallah, there's a statement of his, there's amal in this statement, there's an example in this statement. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, great personality. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that whoever recites Qul huwa Allah wahad, Suratul Ikhlas 10 times, Allah Ta'ala, due to that surah, will give him the one palace in paradise constructed, completed development. How many times? 10 times you recite this. It's stated in the hadith. Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu narrated this. Whoever recites 10 times Surah Ikhlas, then according to his status and rank, Allah Ta'ala will give him a palace, a mansion in paradise. So in this whole gathering, we recited Surah Ikhlas 10 times. So what have we attained? Every one of you, you've got a mansion and a palace in Jannah. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, when he heard this and realized this, he said, Allah, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is such a great reward. And we can read this every time and every moment, and we will have so many palaces mentioned. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, Umar, you can recite as many times as you want, as many times as you want. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never will tire in making the palaces and mansions for you. So my brothers, make this habit of yours in Ramadan, walking, sitting, lying down, keep on 10 times in multiples reciting Surah Ikhlas, and make this your habit that after every salah you will recite Surah Ikhlas. After every salah in Ramadan, may Allah Ta'ala accept this, and whatever we've discussed today, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the ability, the will to practice, ameen, recite the Durood Sharif.